Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. In less than a month, Boston voters will elect a new mayor. They'll choose between two men, City Councilor John Connolly and State Representative Marty Walsh. In many ways, maybe superficial ways, they're similar candidates, the Irish white guy thing, but they also have significant differences.
WBUR political reporter David Scharfenberg has been examining those differences, and in particular, he's been looking at how class differences are playing out in this contest, or at least what some voters perceive to be class differences. For example, here's Charlestown resident Kelly Forbes talking about which candidate she prefers.
I like Marty Walsh. I think he's got a lot of the same values that I have. I like that he's for the unions. Grew up sort of the same way. I think he's more understanding of what people like me are looking for and what we grew up with.
She's one of many voters who spoke with David Scharfenberg during his coverage of the mayoral race. And David is with us now in the studio. Hi, David. And would you tell us more about Marty Walsh's appeal to people like Kelly Forbes?
Sure. So a lot of it is biography. Marty Walsh is the son of Irish immigrants. He grew up in a triple-decker in Dorchester, worked for a short time as a laborer, battled alcoholism as a young man, and eventually rose to become a state representative and a labor leader. This is a guy who really talks like a blue-collar guy. He's got a thick Boston accent, and I think people like Kelly, who we just heard, really identify with him.
There are other voters, of course, who feel more of a connection to John Connolly, and one of those you spoke to is a woman named Rebecca Love. She describes herself as an entrepreneur from Charlestown. Here's what she had to say to you.
He resonates with me and people like me in the sense that we realize that families are an integral part to making life work and sustain in a city. As a person that's starting up a new company, I also like that John's really starting to focus on the economic factors to keep innovation in Boston. I think that's critical to not seeing the brain drain that we've seen go on in the last 10 years, where a lot of our companies have started in Boston and they've packed up and left for the West Coast.
So, David, what are you hearing from voters about what Connolly offers some of them that they don't feel Marty Walsh does?
Sure. So Connolly grew up in kind of a middle-class neighborhood in Roslindale. His mother was a judge. His father was the Secretary of State at one time. He went to Harvard, became a lawyer. He's really focused heavily on improving the public schools. I think you heard a little bit of that in what she just said and the importance of kind of family. And he's also talked quite a bit about the innovation economy and about making City Hall look more like an Apple store. So I think he's got an appeal to kind of a lot of the young professionals who are deciding to stay in the city rather than beat a path to the suburbs when they have kids.
As we said before, you've been looking into how class is playing into this race. Tell us more about how you think that's becoming a factor in the campaign.
So there's really a rich history of this in Boston. You go back to the early 20th century, you've got James Michael Curley, later dubbed the Rascal King, a real populist type, fashioned himself the mayor of the poor, wound up in jail at one point. You've got that kind of tradition, and then you've got a more kind of lace curtain Irish tradition, if you will, and that's really represented in Kevin White, who was the mayor in the late 60s through the 70s, the busing crisis, and into the early 80s. He lived on Beacon Hill, considered himself sort of a champion of downtown Boston. He was a man of national ambitions, briefly a vice presidential nominee for a couple of hours at one point. And then, of course, the reaction to Kevin White was his successor, Ray Flynn, who was kind of a son of South Boston, a one-time opponent of busing, who eventually kind of fashioned himself a man who could heal the city's racial divide.
And with John Connolly and Marty Walsh, do you see to some degree a perpetuation of those kind of distinctions?
In a way. I mean, certainly Marty Walsh kind of aligns himself with that blue-collar strain of Irish politics in this city. John Connolly has said that Kevin White is the mayor he most admires. So there are some parallels there, I think.
I want to play another piece of tape you got from the father of one of the women we heard from earlier. This is the father of Kelly Forbes of Charlestown. Her dad is Mo Gillen. And he made a comment that actually gets at a pretty deep and important question in this race. Here's what he said.
Some people say that Boston's a better place today. My question is, better for who?
So in some ways, this is the essence of what voters may be deciding here.
It is. I think that really gets at one of the central questions in this race. A lot of the mayoral candidates in the preliminary election and now in the final election have talked about kind of the two Bostons. One Boston that's doing quite well, profiting from that innovation economy that's sprouting up all over the place, and another Boston that's not quite sharing in the wealth. And I think that's going to be a pivotal question here. But I think it's really important to note that both of these guys recognize that, and they're both looking to cross class lines to appeal to folks beyond those who might naturally back them. Marty Walsh, a decade ago, the Catholic guy from Dorchester, played a key role in protecting gay marriage in the legislature, and that's provided an opening for some kind of upscale progressive voters who might not necessarily be interested in the blue-collar guy with the Boston accent. And John Connolly's focus on education, while appealing to young parents in Charlestown, also really resonates with low-income Black and Latino parents who really care about schools and about their kids doing well.
So obviously, it's important that they cross class lines as they campaign. Give us a little more sense of how they're trying to do that.
They are. So as I said, John Connolly is really out in the neighborhoods talking about education, talking about this as a pathway out of poverty. He says we can't take anything less than a real overhaul of our schools that will close the achievement gap between white students and Black and Latino students. Marty Walsh, as I said, is touting the support of some gay and lesbian activists, thankful for what he did on gay marriage a decade ago. Just a couple of days ago, he got the support of two former mayoral candidates, City Councilor Felix Arroyo and Roxbury community activist John Barrows, both of whom really appeal to liberals in the city.
So despite the attempts by the candidates to make sure they appeal to both sides, we are seeing, or at least we have seen in the results of the preliminary election, that there is a class divide in terms of how people vote.
There is. Connolly's strength in the preliminary election was on the kind of more affluent western edge of the city, his home base in West Roxbury, up through Jamaica Plain, into the Back Bay and South End. Marty Walsh did really well in the more blue-collar precincts of Dorchester and South Boston. So there's something real here.
That's David Scharfenberg. He's a political reporter for WBUR. David, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
And you can hear David's full piece on class in the mayor's race tomorrow on Morning Edition. Stay with us. Up next, Attorney General Martha Coakley is here to take your questions about why she wants to be the state's next governor. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.